Hello and welcome to 1322 Life. So we have spent the whole last month talking about discipline. So we're gonna start making a transition. But I think that discipline is still even in the lesson that I have today.
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, as stated in Proverbs 13:22. This podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
So we're talking more. So we're going to be making a switch towards living a lot lifestyle, which is just something that God has given me years ago. And basically he told me I needed to listen to him, trust him, and obey him. And so I used to always say LTO lifestyle. And I would say that because, listen, I need to be able to listen to what God says, trust that it's going to happen so that I obey him. What I found to be more so what would happen is that I could listen. Based on the trust or whatever I had, I would quickly obey God, just be obedient. But the trusting really came in going through the process. So it's like, okay, I obeyed you. I did what you said to do. Now what? Like, whatever you said was going to happen or I'm expecting to happen has not happened. What is going on? So if you have ever been in a space where you're like, okay, God, I'm listening to you. I feel like I'm quickly obeying what you told me to do, or I quickly obeyed something really big that you told me to do. And I don't see why or what's coming out of it. Like, I have no idea what is going to be on the other side of this. Like, I'm just patiently waiting and it hasn't happened. For me, it was quitting my job. God told me to quit my job. If you know me, you've heard it. Why? Because I've been trying to figure out why he told me to do it for a long time at first. So I had listened to him. When God spoke to me while I was at my desk at the computer, he was just like, it's time to go, baby girl. I'm like, huh? What that mean? Go where? Like, go outside? Like, no, I didn't say that. But I knew exactly what he was talking about at the time. But at the same token, I was like, you can't be talking about what I think you're talking about. Because if you're telling me to leave my job, which supplies majority of my household's income, and that just had me in like the Hilton and all of these things, they will let me travel to get continuing education. They let my family come with me. My husband and my baby boy came with me because I was still breastfeeding him. I mean, they were so accommodating. My baby boy was always in meetings with me. But that was the thing. I had a newborn at home. He's a few months old. I'm breastfeeding. I'm keeping him home because I ain't trusting nobody with my baby. And I'm watching him all day. He's sleeping on me, all the things. And then after, you know, just basically making it to meeting, doing whatever I could do on a return throughout the day, but really more so being a full-time mama during the day, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., at 6 p.m., I would hand him off to my husband once he got home. And then I would have to work from 6 p.m. to about 2 a.m. And then I have to get right back up at 6 a.m. the next day to take my big kids to school and do it all over again. So I was exhausted, to say the least. And that's why he told me to leave. It wasn't a healthy way to live. I would have lost my mind if I kept going that way. So I thought, okay, you told me it's time to leave. I've had my business for years. It's time for me to go full time in that. And it wasn't necessarily that. It was really time for me to rest. I'm someone that go, 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 go. I come from a line of women that don't know how to sit down. Like, they do not know how to stop. Like, they're always doing something. And so I felt worthless when I wasn't doing something. So I wanted to keep going. But I literally needed to just pause. Enjoy the time I had with my baby while he was home. Enjoy just being a mom, a wife, all those things. Like, just take care of me, take care of my mental health, all of those things. Rest, get some sleep, recover, and then work and build the business. And it still didn't happen overnight. I was working on a business, and I'm like, this still isn't even paying me what a job was paying me. So why should I keep going this way? It made zero sense to me. I don't know. Sometimes when you listen to God, it does not make sense to our human brains. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it did not make sense to me. So I was like, okay, what is going on? And I was like living the LTO. I said, I listen. I trusted you enough to obey you. Now what? And that's where I was talking to some business colleagues and I said, I really feel like it is living a lot lifestyle. Because you have to listen, you have to obey him. And then when you're going through that process of just waiting, you have to have faith, which means you have to trust him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, which means that basically we have to have faith in order to please him, right? So you have to be able to trust that God's way is going to work out better than your way, that his way of understanding is much better than yours. And I was wondering, who in the Bible could we use to go over this? And my mom brought up Sarah. And I was like, that is perfect. Because Sarah had to trust the process. Sarah was Abraham's wife. Or they were Abram and Sarai at first, before God changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. So I may use them interchangeably. But basically, Abraham and Sarah were married. They were also brother and sister, which is just nasty. But I think they had different mamas at least. Different time. So they were married and they were waiting on a child. She could not conceive. So Sarah was having a real tough time being able to give birth to a baby. And through this, they also lied about being married. And they lied about it because Sarah was so beautiful. Abraham didn't want somebody to kill him just to have her. So he was like, this is my sister. Now, technically, is that a lie? No, because she your sister, but she your wife too. So the king or whatever at that time had took Sarah as his wife. But luckily, he hadn't had any kind of sex or relations with her. So she didn't end up doing anything with him. But God came to that man in the dream, the king in the dream, and was like, basically, you better leave this woman alone. Like all the his other wives and concubines or whatever could not conceive at the time. They became barren. It was just a whole thing. And so it was like the reason why was because he got this man wife. And he was like, look, I ain't even did nothing to her. Take her back. Like, here, take her. Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? You said this was your sister. Here, take her. Here, I'm going to give you also a couple of concubines you can take for yourself, like some female servants or slaves. You take them as well. Take some stuff and go. Like, he blessed Abraham, sent him off with goods, and was just like, get the heck out of here. Because I don't want none of your curses on me. And so, with that, that's what brings Hagar into the picture. So if you know this story, I may be boring you, but for those of us that don't always have time to be in our Bible, it's story time. And so basically Hagar was the female slave. And so back in the day, the same way they were over here marrying siblings, they also would just say, oh, have sex with my female slave or my servant and she will bear children for me. As if it's just like, it was just a whole different kind of surrogacy. Like the female slave had no say. So it's basically like, rape this woman and she will bear you the child because she has no say. She like, this conversation is happening without her input whatsoever. So that's what Abraham did. He listened and he went and slept with Hagar and had a son named Ishmael. Whew. So Hagar started feeling herself and she started talking raunchy to Sarah, basically. And then her son was joking on Sarah too. So they were both just bagging on her and making her feel like crap. See, because she tried to do things her own way instead of waiting on God's timing. Because God promised her a child. He didn't say when. He just said he would. Now, if you've been trying for decades and decades and you feel like, okay, maybe I'm 50 now and I don't see a child coming. This may be the only way that this can happen. Maybe she was 60. I don't know. But this may be the only way that she thought that she could realistically have a child is through another woman, because life has shown her she cannot have a child. God told her that he would give her one, but she's like, maybe God forgot about me because my child rearing years are behind me and I couldn't have not one. And so she had to trust God, but her trust was shaky. She thought that she was forgotten by God. She didn't think that her at such an old age would be able to have a child. And when they came to her, I think a prophet came to her and said how she would still have a child. It was a prophet or an angel, but came to her and said how she would still be bearing a child. And she's like, like, I'm going to have a child at this old age. And it was like, why are you laughing? And so she was like, oh, well, like, sorry. Like, you know, but she couldn't believe it. Like, yeah, right. Like, imagine someone telling you in your 80s, 90s, or 100 years old that you're going to have a child. So she didn't believe it at all. And so you'll see in Genesis 21, this is when God grants the request. It says, now I'm reading out of the, I think this is the NIV version. I have many Bibles, y'all. And so I just grabbed one before I left. And so, but I believe this is the NIV version. And it doesn't tell me how old she is. It just tells me how old Abraham is. It says that he was 100 years old. So in Genesis 21, it states, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So she was able to actually conceive and have a child. And that was Isaac. And, you know, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which is why we are talking about the Israelites, because it's all the descendants from Israel, which are God's chosen people. So from that lineage, from her son, came the birth of a nation that God still loves and reverences today. Is what I've seen in this Bible. This is a whole love story about the Israelites. That's it. It's a beautiful love letter about the Israelites. It's about their history. It's about what they did wrong, what they did right, how God reacted to their good and to their bad. And it's also a way for us to live, and how, you know, Jesus, by Jesus dying on the cross, and when he came, he also made it open to everyone, not just Israel, which I think that's why some people still have a hard time believing he came, because it's like, I thought you were going to do it this way, but instead you're doing it for everybody. This doesn't seem to be right. So with that, it can bring a lot of confusion, because you may think that God, I came to you and I expected you to show up in this way. I came to you, I expected you to do X, Y, and Z. So instead, we see that God chooses to do things differently. Who would have thought that they would be having a baby at 100 years old? A lot of people are dying at 100 years old. Like, that's the age where it's like, oh, okay, life ends, not begins. And I don't know how old Sarah was, but she was old as well. And so for her to actually get her promise to be given to her at 90 something or 100 years old as well, whatever the case may have been, I mean, honestly and truly, who would have thought? She didn't. Okay, so with this, what we have to see is that with Hagar and Ishmael, now she's being taunted because she chose to do things her own way. Instead of waiting on God, instead of being patient, she decided to take things into her own hands. And then that ended up being really a curse for her. And also, it ended up being said. So they ended up sending Ishmael away. Ishmael and Hagar away. Because Sarah's like, I got my own son now. Y'all can go. Like, you're illegitimate. I don't care. This is the real firstborn son. Even though Ishmael was truly the firstborn son to Abraham, she's just like, I'm the wife, this is baby, this the one we claim in, be gone. And God had already told Hagar that he would still also make a nation out of Ishmael, but Ishmael and Isaac's lineage would always be at war with one another for this very reason. And to this day, we still see those things going on. And so the decision that Sarah made in her being impatient and not trusting the process that God was taking her through, in that decision, she saw that she brought on war for what feels like eternity. And we have to be able to pay close attention to what decisions are we making while we're supposed to be trusting God instead through the process. So, living a lot lifestyle. Listen, obey, trust. So, you have to be able to think to yourself, what is it that God is talking to you about right now? What are you waiting on? What has He promised you? What are you expecting? What is your heart's desires that seems like it's just not coming? Even though you may have heard a word from God, you may have heard a word from prophets, you may have heard both, and you're still just like, I don't see it happening. Somebody wrong. Like, did you really mean that? Did you forget about me? How do you handle that now in real time? Well, what you don't want to do is try to do things your own way and find a way around to get to God's promise faster, doing things your way instead of just being patient and waiting on the Lord. Instead, what you need to do is stop. Listen to what He told you. Listen to what He's told you yourself or through other people. Obey what He's told you to do and trust the process, even if it doesn't look like what you want it to look like, even if it doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever, even if you think that it should be done a different way, or even if, I don't know, maybe you put God on a timeline that He never agreed to, and you thought it was going to happen in 3 months, and He meant 3 years or 30 years. And that can be hard, especially when we're talking more like 30 years. I don't know how long she was actually waiting for this promise, but she was an old woman when she had a baby. And while my son is a blessing from Christ, I love him. I'm so happy I did not have to wait till I was 100 years old to have him. Because if you ever met him, he's no one you want to be chasing down at 100 years old. Like, it's just like, this going to take me out year one or two. Like, I'm out of here. So it's just something to think about. Sometimes the process does not look like how you would want it to. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to you. A lot of times we have to just believe and be patient. And in my case, I had to be patient. It did not make sense to me. I was like, I'm doing everything in my power. This is not how things usually go. And yet and still we're seeing all of these like different struggles or whatever the case may be. And so I had to trust God's process for me. And for me, that looked like not going back or getting another job all the times that I wanted to. I did it twice. But I only did it once. Actually, I almost did it twice. But I only did it once. But it was just also just saying, okay, I'm going to do it your way, not my way. I don't want to delay my blessing. Even though it feels rough right now, even though it doesn't make any sense, I'm going to trust God's process instead of implementing my own and trying to think that I can outsmart God and do things better than He can. Because that's what it means when we're trying to go around His process. And that's what Sarah was thinking. She was like, look, He forgot about me or whatever way He's thinking about doing this ain't working. So I'm going to give Him my female slave, and this is how He's going to have a child. And this is how He will have, you know, children as numerous as the sand. But it did not have to be that way. So don't go taking a shortcut that is going to cause you a lot more turmoil in the end. When you can instead just trust the process. And maybe she would have got a baby a little earlier if she would have just stayed obedient instead of going around. But I think what's also beautiful is God's grace, because He still kept His promise to her in the end. So, find purpose in God's timing. Figure out what it means for you. For me, resting did not feel good. It felt like I was lazy. I felt like I was worthless. I felt like I was not doing what I needed to do in the moment. But looking back, it was exactly what I needed. So even if it makes no sense to you, and even if you have to deal with lies from the pit of hell during the process, combat those with the truth and just stay the course. Because when you try to find a shortcut, it usually just delays your blessing. And you're already impatient anyway. So you might as well just go through, because the fastest way through is being patient, unfortunately. So thank you guys. Next week, we will be back live on YouTube, where I will be able to hear you guys' comments and see what you have to say. But we have this one pre-recorded for you just so that we can still make sure that we connect. So we're going to close out in prayer. And then I will be wishing you all a great week. So dear Lord, thank you right now for just bringing us all together. Thank you for everyone that needed to hear this message and that decided to tune in today. God, help us to just be patient and listen to you through the process. Help us to just remain obedient, even when it does not make any sense whatsoever to us. God, help us to stay your course and not try to take things into our own hands and do it our own way. Because we want to actually realize the promises that you've given us instead of receiving a half or a illegitimate promise by trying to do a half-baked blessing our own way. So, Father God, help us to get out of our own way and not cause more turmoil in our lives, where you instead want us to have peace, rest, and restoration, where you instead want to prepare us. So, God, help us to trust you through the process, no matter what it looks like or feels like, no matter what thoughts we're having about it or what others may even be saying to us. Help us to trust you anyway. And God, we thank you that you're going to be filling our faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we want to please you. We want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," in the end. So we thank you for doing it right now in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week, y'all. And I will see y'all next week on 1322 Life. Oh, by the way, subscribe. You may not see me again if you didn't hit the subscribe button. Why? Because we have to get to 1,000 subscribers. So please like and subscribe below so that you can get more of this content and so that it can go out to many more people. I think that we're doing a good work here, and I want us to keep on doing it and continue. I just feel so happy about bringing this podcast back, and it has given me fresh wind, fresh fire. So if this is what you, if you're enjoying it now, you've seen nothing yet. There is so much more that we have brewing, but please like and subscribe. Like and subscribe so you can get more of this content and so that others can get it too. See y'all next week. Bye.